Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, Andy. How are you?
I don't know. I'm an emotional wreck right now. I'm a disaster. I'm just going to be honest with you because I like to talk with you during the break so I can get free legal advice. My back is hurting, and you were nowhere to be found. What happened?
You know what? put it to children. Put it to children.
Those rascals. Yeah, Michelle, our producer, was saying that a five-year-old kept picking up the phone, cursing at her. What's going on?
I don't know. You probably would have had a better segment if you had a Alexa.
You know, maybe that's not a bad idea. We'll call it youth law with Mitch Langberg's son, the constitutional attorney. All right, Mitch, let me reintroduce your people, because usually you have this segment next hour, but we wanted to bump you up today because it's election time, and also I get a lot of emails. People really like your segments, so we're giving you a primetime slot. You're Mitch Langberg, partner at the Brownstein Hyatt Law Firm. Is that correct?
That is right.
Okay, good. Now, Mitch, we have a lot on the agenda today. Are you comfortable and ready?
I am.
Okay. First couple stories we're going to cover, one about an aggressive tweeter who refused to cooperate with the subpoena because he was threatening Michelle Bachmann. I want your thoughts on that. And then we're going to talk about crybaby lawyers who are suing the law schools that they went to because they can't score jobs as lawyers anymore. We're going to find out, is there any merit to that? And then we're going to find out about a judge in Georgia who pulled out a gun in court. And no, I'm not kidding. All right. And that'll be this segment. And then we'll take a break and then we'll talk about the other stuff after that. All right, Mitch, you ready?
I am. Let's go.
I've asked that seven times. What's wrong with you, Andy, today? I don't know. Did you hear Steve Urkel's on Dancing with the Stars?
I'm sorry. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
And I'm excited that you're supporting him. Something else that we can agree upon.
I'm throwing the full weight of 52 stations now. By the way, we picked up, what is it, somewhere in Kentucky, Glasgow, Kentucky, yesterday. And I'm throwing the full weight of this program behind Steve Urkel's candidacy. Okay, aggressive tweeter can't quash subpoena. Mitch, let's talk about this story. A guy named Mr. X was subpoenaed. U.S. Chief Judge Royce Lamberth made a ruling on this. I have to be very careful with my language, Mitch, because I want to stay on the air. He said, quote, "I want to bleep Michelle Bachmann in the bleep with a Vietnam-era machete." And the question is that First Amendment-protected speech? Can you tell us what the judge's ruling was and why this is such a fascinating case?
I love when we're in the world of careful what you tweet. It keeps
right.
coming up for us. The issue in this case has to do with the constitutional, the First Amendment constitutional right to speak anonymously. And what was going on here is that the person who was making these threats was not disclosing who they were on their Twitter account. They weren't using their real name. And the government, who's seeking to prosecute the guy for these threats, said to Twitter, "Well, we want you to tell us and give us information about who this guy is." And generally, you and I and everybody has a right to speak anonymously. The standards are pretty stringent, but if the government can show that they've got a good claim against the person and that there's no other method to get the information, then they can actually get a court to require Twitter to provide any identifying information about the person. Now the next issue is going to be whether or not the things that he said were protectable by the First Amendment, or whether they're the kind of threats that he can be prosecuted for.
Right, and the judge said that his tweet constituted a threat because, and I'm reading a quote here, what Mr. X did is he described in his tweet, quote, "a forcible insertion of an extremely sharp real-world weapon into Ms. Bachmann's blank, which, if performed, would undoubtedly cause serious bodily injury and likely death." That makes sense to me that this is obviously a threat. Why would there be any question here that that's not a threat? Is it because she's a conservative, it's not a threat?
I think the question is going to be whether or not, in the context it was stated, whether or not the person is believed to have been making an actual threat rather than making a tongue-in-cheek comment. And we know that there's, I don't want to, you know, if Mickey Mouse were running for president and I said, you know, "I want to kill Mickey Mouse," that raises all sorts of red flags. But when it comes down to the time of the trial, the criminal prosecution of the trial, the question is going to be whether it was an actual threat, a real threat, or whether it's the kind of tongue-in-cheek thing that people say in everyday conversation.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is the judge even talked about Andrew Dice Clay, saying that his infantile attempt at humor brings to mind the most obscene aspects of Andrew Dice Clay, but without even the infinitesimal modicum of artistic creativity that Mr. Clay manages to possess. I disagree with the judge here. I think Andrew Dice Clay is talented. You disagree?
He's a former client, so I agree.
Is he really? Wait, whoa, back that up. Why was Dice Clay a client of yours?
It,